Welcome to the Elijah Streams podcast. Our mission is to encourage you in your faith through a unique blend of patriotism and prophecy. And now, here's your host, Steve Schultz.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's the 10th of March already. I can't even believe it. Welcome to Elijah Streams. We're in year 28 of bringing you the voice of the prophets. And we're going to bring in Krista Elisha here in just a few moments. A quick announcement, Dr. Scott will be with us. Dr. Scott Young will be with us tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock Pacific, talking about Nisara, Jisara, and all of those things. I'm going to try, if I can do that one, I'm going to ask him some pointed questions about, I believe I've heard some people have, here and there, have been having mortgages forgiven already, and bills that were in cars that were suddenly paid off and all of that. That's part of the Nisara. So the question is that started or is it slowly being started? Or we'll ask him some of those questions and bring us up to date. He's very popular when he comes on. So other than that, we want to run a quick spot for you. It's a real short spot about the wells we're digging in. It just will kind of pull at your heartstrings like it does me. So without further ado, let's play that. Here we go.
Imagine walking miles every day to collect water, but not the kind you'd want to drink. Water that is shared with animals. No matter how much you boil it, the filth, sickness, and struggle remains. This was the reality for many people in Uganda until you stepped in. Thousands now have access to clean, safe water. Together, we can continue to provide clean water to those in need. Will you join us? Donate online at ElijahStreams.com/donate. Or mail a check today to Elijah Streams, 525 2nd Avenue Southwest, Suite 629, Albany, Oregon, 97321.
Ah, I love that. I love that. And you know, when I'll comment on this, the video is so good and the people are so well photographed that you would be tempted to think, oh, these must be stand-ins or actors, or we bought this footage online. No, these are our people. These are the people you've already given water to. And yeah, they did pose for us to make this spot. But those are real people who have received water from you. So I just want you to know that that's the real deal. The joy you're seeing is the real joy. And you've seen a lot of celebrations and digging of the wells. We keep trying to give you different full pictures of what this is. But that Matthew 10, if you look that up, it says whoever gives a cup, whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, receives a prophet's reward. And then the next verse, and whoever gives so much as a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he's mine, they will surely not lose their reward. So that's all the same thing in Matthew 10. And so that, ironically, that's what we're doing. We bring you the voice of the prophets, and we give you the chance to bring fresh cold water to the people of Uganda. Especially, we do other African nations as well, but there's more concentration in Uganda than any place. We will do 1,000 wells by October. We've been at this a few years, so one every day gets completed. So thank you so much for your ongoing support. We appreciate that. So, all right, time to bring in Krista Elisha. So here she is. Krista, good to see you. It's been a while since you and I've been together.
Yes, it's good to see you too, Steve. I love what you guys are doing with the wells in Africa. That's just amazing.
Well, thank you. I mean, sometimes it's very real and it'll just get me. And other times it's just like, oh, those beautiful, beautiful people, and I don't have a tear. But other times it'll just slap me in the face. It's so hard. I want to ask you something. Just before I came on the air, you were talking about what you do when you're not doing this. And I don't think I've ever had you tell people what you told me about the academy things that you're doing.
Yeah, so I actually have a class that's going right now. The enrollment is closed, but we'll be opening it again. It's called Scribes Arise. And it's because I feel really convicted that the body of Christ needs prophets who can rightly articulate their experiences and make them useful to the body of Christ. And so I actually worked with some people behind the scenes there at Elijah Streams to find out what you guys use, or like how you identify an authentic prophetic word. And I've incorporated that into my teaching because we need another generation of prophets to like rise up and be excellent at releasing the voice
we
of the Lord.
Absolutely do. And now, are you, what generation are you considered?
I'm a millennial.
You are a millennial. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. My wife and I were talking about the whole different, and are these mainly millennials you're doing this with, or are they?
Actually, it's a lot of millennials and a lot of Gen Zs.
Okay. And not really the old people, which is fine, is if you've got a niche and they're coming to you. I've seen other people your age that'll take on a group, and they're also getting gray haired people instead of as much as this. So I was really curious what you do.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that the boom is still going on in the boomers. I love your generation, and you guys have so much wisdom, and it's actually, we do have quite a few older generation people like Xers and boomers. And it's awesome because, you know, their whole life they know that they've been prophetic, but they've just not had anybody be able to help refine them or give them confidence about the things that they're experiencing. And so it's amazing to be able to work with them and help them articulate and really sit on the things that their dreams and their visions. That was a big part of it, to help people articulate their dreams and visions and be able to make them useful.
If you listen to Bishop Bill Hammond, who was probably the greatest multiplier of prophets, especially from your generation, starting with people your generation, and then of course now many of them are my age, but I was part of that. 94, I went to their advanced training, but his claim was that the prophetic movement started in 1988. Most of you guys weren't around, but I mean, in 88 was when they had the big televangelists that fell. I don't think I'll say their name and, you know, make it sound negative, but there were two major televangelists in a mega church, and that was a huge thing all over the nation, and they still make, you know, but at the same time those fell, the prophetic movement, I don't even know if the two are related, but God began to speak to me a lot in 88. It was only later that I looked back. So when I started this in 97, it was a different world, Krista. There were no church prophets, really. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to look and look and look.
I know.
If you say, well, I have a prophetic ministry, people would say, what's that? And this would be in charismatic and Pentecostal churches, and they'd say, what's that? Mm-hmm. You know, I have a story where I was unceremoniously kicked out of a church because I was doing the Elijah list. And these people, I forgive them and all that. They're friends and all that to this day. But back then, the story was, you can't do that. And I said, well, why can't I do that? Because you're prophesying to people on tape and you're not in the church. I was the prophetic pastor in this church, actually. And they said, but you can't do that. And I said, well, why can't I do that? Because you just can't, because how could we pastor that? That was the actual thinking. It wasn't their problem. It was the church's problem. They thought everything had to be within these four walls. Literally, there was the only way that you could accept everything was called a parachurch, and it was
looked
upon and all that. So anyway, good for you. I mean, a lot of us help pave the way, but it's delightful to see where you are. I mean, you're telling me about this academy, which maybe I don't think I'd heard that before.
Yeah, I'm actually getting, so we've had a mentorship program for a long time where that's actually, we are launching the Syndicate, which is going to be an online apostolic hub, and that'll be up soon. We're going to have different fivefold voices come in to train and equip and bless the body and connect relationally. And then within the next month, I will actually have my Elite Spiritual Warfare Academy up and going. And the whole premise behind that is I really just feel a conviction from the Lord that, you know, in the Second Great Awakening, Charles Finney, the main message was like, you cannot be holy and not have the Holy Spirit. And that's 100% true. And we have seen the way that that's progressed. But I really believe that the message for our generation is that you cannot be holy without being whole. And in order to be whole, you have to have inner healing and deliverance.
Good.
And we can't have compartmentalized lives. And one of the big issues with the stuff with the prophetic movement is we have wounded prophets, or we have prophets that are translating things from, you know, wounds, or that are skewed through the lens of, you know, things that aren't the Holy Spirit, we get all of those things out of the way, and then we can be the mature sons of God that all of creation is standing on tiptoe waiting to, you know, be revealed for the restoration of all things.
Well,
and so So that's what the Academy is going to be focusing
on. I'm just saying, well done, man. I didn't realize you were immersing yourself, but you're just kind of like, for lack of a better word, you have immersed yourself into it, self-motivated, you know, like you're a self-starter. You decided to do this. I'm proud of you. I mean, because that was my story too. I mean, I just did this Elijah-less thing, and little did I know, look what God has multiplied that. But yeah, there's all that stuff where, and I think prophets today can get. I was just having a great talk with Sunil Isaac today, this on the phone, but everybody can get. You can. This was a very interesting thing. We were talking about the subject of forgiveness, which is my favorite subject because you have to forgive. There's no check mark that says, well, you don't have to forgive this. Yeah, you have to forgive everything. But we were talking about, we were talking about a different prophet like years and years ago. And Sunil said, let's see if I can pull this up. Oh, I may lose the train of thought. But basically, I know what it was. He said, Steve, there was only one person that Jesus ever called Satan. And go, oh yeah, Peter. He goes, yep, Peter. The one that gave the greatest sermon on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 were saved. Not too long before that, Jesus looked at him right in the eyes and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because one moment before that, he said, you're the Son of God, you know. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. And then the next moment, he demands that Jesus not go to the cross. And you know, so you can be in the spirit one minute as a prophetic voice, and you can be 1,000% in the flesh so that God may have be tempted to call you in league with Satan. That's just a weird thing. So it puts a little onus on us to be careful. So I'm glad you're going there with that. Well, listen, I'm using up your time, but you've got a lot to share here. On we've been doing actually Esther stuff this week, so you're right on schedule. So go ahead and hit us with your stuff.
Yeah, no, I love this conversation, Steve. I think, you know, what is so cool about, you know, just you and what you're doing, and then really like how the Elijah list and, you know, my mom and your generation like impacted me personally, and now how I'm passing everything that I got down to, you know, my kids, and then I'm going to be a grandma this year.
You are not. Yes. Are you really?
Yes, my daughter. I always prayed that my kids would meet their spouses young and get married young. And so my daughter and her husband are, you know, 22. They've been married since they were 18. And
I had no idea.
I know. And I'm getting ready to be a grandma. I'm so excited. But just to see like this baby, this grandchild, is going to be the first child born in my family line without the strongholds or the demonization or, you know, the generational assignments that I had to wrestle with, that my mom and dad had to wrestle with. And it's all because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the ability to, you know, the belief or the faith that we can each hear God for ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, the voice of the Lord is so important to me. Like, you know, I can totally identify with David when he said, you know, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, you know. It's so important for each of us, and we can in Christ, each of us can experience the communications of the Lord. And it's just cool to see the legacy that is being left and multiplied, and how amazing it is to know that, like, I don't know, like I think about legacy, right? And
good for you. You're kind of an old soul in a young body.
I am.
Thinking about legacy now. Well, good for you. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it happened a couple years ago. I was in this worship service, and I was going through a really hard time in my personal life, and even in like that current ministry team that I had, and was dealing with a lot of bitterness. And I was worshiping the Lord, and they're singing, you know, show me your glory. And I just spoke to God, and I said, God, I like, will you show me what you say your glory is? Because I've heard what other people say it is, but I want to know what you say your glory is, Lord. And I went into this open vision, and he told me to look around the room. Like, and so I'm looking around the room, and every single person in the room turned into Jesus.
Really?
I could see Jesus in them. And he started convicting my heart about loving people, not in my capacity, but loving people as though they were him. And I instantly just became, because his image is in each human being. And I began to just come under the conviction of God and began to just, you know, forgive and release everybody that I was holding judgments against. And then the vision changed and I saw him walk in as a giant, and he was a mighty man of war. Wow. And he was carrying this massive sword and a battle axe. And he got like right down in my face. And he's a giant, like white hair, white as wool, and this glorious beard and eyes like rainbow fire and brilliant teeth. And he's shining and he's terrifying. And he says to me, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And the scene shifted. I'm no longer looking at the Lord. I'm looking at the back of my daughter's hair, and I'm braiding her hair for her wedding day. And then I hear the Spirit of God say, "And my glory transcends through generations." And then I'm braiding my granddaughter's hair, then my great granddaughter's hair.
My.
And then all of a sudden I'm standing in Israel, and I'm finishing like this last strand of hair on this bride's head, right? And I pin this last strand of hair, and all of a sudden this song rises up out of this daughter in front of me and out of, you know, the earth around me. And it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride who has made herself ready. And they all began to sing, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." And I see the clouds crack open, and I see the man who's coming to judge the false gods of the nations, right? And riding on his white horse with faithful and true on his thighs. Woo! And
okay, and, Krista, you never fail, right? Yeah, I'm doing it. Okay.
And the Lord says, "And what you put your hands on today is preparing and beautifying my bride for tomorrow."
Gee.
And I, from that moment on, there was a shift in my inner world where I was focusing on, like, you know, the thing that I was building, my significance, you know, whatever it was. And it began to turn to my children and my children's children. And a huge part of, you know, what I'm doing with Arise Kingdom Warfare Academy is going to be all about that. It's the purification of the bride through inner healing and deliverance, so that we can make the bride ready in the generations to come that are going to be the ones that Jesus comes to receive. And so that is the main focus of everything that I do now. And I love, you know, hearing your story and like stories of the fathers and the mothers and the women of faith that have gone before us, because it's such an encouragement to see how we're all part of God's never-ending story.
Yeah.
And that in each generation, his glory is being made manifest in a greater way. Like that's where we go from glory to glory.
I think what I'm picking up from you, and always pick up from you, honestly, I mean, the way I put it in my words, when I talk about this in general, is, you know, when we were raised, 70s, 80s, and we started receiving Christ, they would say, "Would you like to receive Christ as your personal Savior?" And if you said yes, they might show you the four spiritual laws, which were very helpful to read through those, or they do this Romans Road thing. They would lead you on the main points of the gospel. You'd pray to receive Christ, which is all good and fine. But one thing that wasn't always grabbing hold of you in those days, or me in those days, was, no, the question was, would you like to receive Christ as your personal Savior? Mm-hmm. Hesitate on that word, because we've spent the rest of the 40 years, I've been married 47 years, just seeing how personal the Lord is, and he's only getting more and more and more personal.
Yes.
You know, I'm about to hit 71, and he's more personal today than he was last week. He just keeps getting more personal.
Thanks for listening. The Elijah Streams podcast is made possible by donations like yours. To become a partner, go to ElijahStreams.com/give.
And I'm not one like you that gets to walk in the seer anointing and go up in the clouds yet. I will, but you know, but if he's this personal, when I'm not yet done that, what's that going to be like? So I was like, but I really just, again, hats off to you and your generation. You're carrying the torch. You picked it up. I wish more would do it. And your academy sounds like it's spot on for what's needed right now. So
Steve, you know, what's really interesting is like, in my studies about the office and the role of prophets to nations and to kings, there's a really interesting word play with the seer prophet and the word shepherd. The word for both is roe.
Really?
Yes. And
I didn't know that.
We think that seer prophets see open visions, but really seer prophets are to perceive God's perceptions and then to reveal what God's mind, his desires, and his emotions are for the people. And that's why they can be trusted, like roe or seer prophets can be trusted to lead nations. And so I would submit to you that you are like a Samuel, you are a roe, a seer prophet, in the way that you know God's heart and you know his perception, and God has anointed you and he's established you to lead a nation back to God through listening to the voice of the prophets, so that we can know what God is thinking and what he's feeling and what his desires for our generation and for our nation. And so you might not have open, crazy, you know, things, but you are a seer because you understand God. That's what the seer prophet is about.
Wow. Well, I received that. That's profound. I've never had that said to me like that. Well, I'm going to remember that. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So that's definitely who you are. I heard the Lord say that.
But really?
I heard the Lord say Steve is like a Samuel. He is a seer or a roe, and he's a shepherd and a leader of the people through honoring the voice of the prophets. And that is absolutely 100%. I affirm that, because it takes one to know one.
Well, you know? Very kind. And I received that. You just kind of made my day too, because I'll be thinking about that a lot. So I better release you. You've got a lot of stuff here. I better release you.
I think, you know, really, so for speaking about Iran and the Esthers and what God is doing with Israel and the United States, one of the big things, and, you know, I've been praying about this, but I try really hard not to follow the news. I just follow the Holy Spirit. And because our emotions can get involved in things, and then I don't want to prophesy out of emotions, you know, I want to prophesy from God's emotions. And so he'll tell me something and then he'll confirm it to me later. And that was kind of what was going on with the whole thing that was going on in Iran and the United States. I was leading up to, you know, the Israel and American alliance to go in and to begin to open up what they're doing in Iran. I had been just feeling like this grieving in the Holy Spirit, and I began to intercede for Trump the Cyrus, who was going to, you know, deliver the people, right? And I woke up so I know that everything started on the 28th, but I hadn't really followed up on it, other than just praying in the spirit. And I didn't know the name that they were going to call it, Operation Roaring Lion. I had no clue. And I didn't even know that there were more than one flag, like that they had more than one flag for Iran. But on March 1st, so it was like the day before Purim, I woke up and just instantly started like weeping. And
really?
Yeah. And it was, but it wasn't like sorrowful. It was actually tears of joy and like gratitude. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, the Lion of Judah is roaring over Iran. And I got on, you know, on, I think it was Facebook. And then all of a sudden I'm seeing all these videos about what is happening there, and saw the flag, which, you know, they, I guess it was the lion and the, I don't know if they're going to show it while we're talking, but
that one,
yes, that flag. Well, wow. I didn't know that flag existed. I had no clue. But all of a sudden the Lord downloaded this word in my spirit over Iran, and later he showed me this flag. And then I see, this is a banner of love, and it's a prophetic word over Iran, and it is all connected to Israel. And Iran, or the Persian people, rising up to be Esther's on behalf of Israel, to lead Israel to salvation in the Messiah. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you follow, I think it's really important for us right now, especially conservative Christians, that we are being very careful about the voices that we're listening to.
Yeah.
There is a great deception that is happening right now. And the enemy is using mind control and occult programming and conservative voices that are releasing lies and propaganda and things that, like,
do you feel okay to characterize that generally what you're talking about, or do you want to keep it general?
Yeah, no, I for a long time, the Lord has really had me praying and interceding for Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson.
Okay.
There's a lot that I could say about that, but the stuff that Candace is talking about has, she literally brags that she doesn't read her Bible, that if she needs to know anything about the Bible, that her priest can tell her.
Oh, no. Does she really?
She's really bragged about that. And so she has no, like, she's literally, she was made anti-Semite of the year.
Who did?
2 years in a row.
I mean, like, who dubbed her that? Who? When you say
it was the Israeli, oh my gosh, it was like the Israeli journalism and something in the Nations. I can't remember the organization, but their job is to, like, scout for anti-Semitism because of the dangers that their people have gone through. And so she's been named that 2 years in a row now. And she brags about it. And,
And I'll tell you this, those two are the ones that you hear the most. And there's a guy, I won't say his name, but I followed him for a long time. He's purportedly a patriot and all that. And they start turning, and all of a sudden they mention Israel and da da da, and this is all going to turn out and Israel's going to be wiped out. And I'm going, what are you talking about? You know, you have read it. And he says, if you want to know what's truth, listen to your heart. God will show you. And I'm going, if God will show you, I know God will show you. But what are you doing cursing Israel? You know, and so, yeah,
I have a theory about, and I've thought about doing some videos on my channel about it, where so when I do deliverance, I'm dealing with occult level demons. So I have demons come forward and identify their names.
Okay.
And I believe that Allah is a guise of Baal.
I think you're right.
And Baal is the God who is always at war with Yahweh, right? He's a God of war and of storms and all this stuff and violence and murder.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, people who might be under the influence of that particular demon, they operate in, like, a hive mind, right? Hive mind. So, like us, we're believers in Jesus, and we all have the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And when God says he doesn't do anything in the nations unless he first reveal it to his servants, the prophets, we all prophets are all getting similar words in similar seasons, right?
Yeah.
So we kind of have a hive mind too, because we're all connected to the same spirit. Well, the same is true for the enemy, because he's a counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just a few months ago, the Lord gave me this vision of these dragons throughout the nations. One was in China, one was in the Middle East, and then there was another one in Russia. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, these are the dragons that are rising against the Israelites to avert my second coming. Okay. And that's why they hate the Jews, is because the Jews are going to be the last nation who receives Jesus as Messiah. And when they receive Jesus as Messiah and they welcome him back into the land, right?
Yeah, right.
And say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then that is when the Spirit and the bride has made herself ready, and we're going to see the second coming of Christ, right?
Yeah.
So the enemy is at war with the Jews because they are the last domino that falls in the nations to receive Yeshua Messiah. And that is when their final judgment is going to come. And so there are times and seasons where the enemy will rise up against the Jews, but he does it in ways that, you know, there's always like the same pattern, and it always starts out with lies and with propaganda. Mm-hmm. And if you know that if you hear something seven times, then it becomes a default belief system, and that the Nazis actually began this, you know, it's called occult programming. I write about it in my book, Born for Battle. Anything that you say seven times or you hear seven times on repeat, it becomes default belief, even if it's not true. And so we've got people that are listening to these different outlets, right? They're the false prophets of media, media, and they are programming people. And, you know, the fall in the Garden of Eden, it happened because of a conversation, Steve.
Yeah, it did.
You know, and that is really, it's really important for us to remember that anything that we hear, we need to actually go, we need to search the scriptures, we need to search the Lord, and we need to ask him what he is saying about nations and people groups, because the enemy works the same today. It all starts through conversation, and he's a liar, and the most devious kind of lies are the ones that have just enough truth that, you know, but they're mixed with everything wrong. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the desire, especially prophetic people, because we're so bent towards justice that we will not realize that within an instant, we go from desiring the justice of God to, falling into the prey or falling into the trap of becoming like the beast who is a legalist.
Well, I mean, it wasn't for no reason. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, because we're always thinking someone deserves something. You know, I've been in that place so many times in my life where I'm going, if this person treated me bad, I'm talking about, you know, a generation ago. I'm not talking about anything right here, but you go, man, that guy betrayed me in the 80s, and you know, that guy's now in heaven. But I mean, there was a real deal. Yeah. And it took me 3 years to forgive him because I wanted justice. And justice had all these different looks, like he would give me what he took from me, which he never did, and all those things. It's a slippery slope. I'll get back on my forgiveness.
It's so true. Well, and here's the thing is that, like, we can take even noble causes, like with Candace Owens, you know, she's obviously very passionate about children, you know, but when you allow yourself to get into bitterness over what people are doing, you've already opened yourself up to the enemy. And that is when the enemy begins to twist and distort things. And, you end up becoming his mouthpiece. And that's exactly what has happened here. You know, God, he says, mercy triumphs over judgment against people. Our real enemy is, you know, these principalities, world rulers, wicked spirits, and heavenly places that are in rebellion against God. And those are the entities that are manipulating humanity. And so wherever they're, like, we just have to be aware of who our real enemy is. And it's so interesting because I'm very, I'm very protective of the Jewish people because of what the Lord has shown me personally about his desires for them and his weeping over them. When I was there in 2020, I had a vision of Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, and I've always just carried a heart for them. And, you know, even in this word for Iran, I was not thinking in this context, and this is how you know it's the Lord, because anytime the Lord speaks to you, it's revelatory. It opens you up to a new possibility that you never thought of. And so he began to speak to me about what he's doing there and how the Iranian church, the underground church of Iran, is actually going to be called to be missionaries to Israel because of this that's happening.
Wow, that's a very cool word.
And I think it's so interesting, too, that, like, you know, God is, he's the God of times and seasons, right? And so we might not realize his timing, you know, like nations might not understand his timing, but we found ourselves in this season where literally the plot of Haman, you know, to destroy the Jewish people, which the Muslim regime that is there in Iran, they want to destroy Israel.
Yeah, I mean, it's the, they are certainly the most Hitlerian. Is that a word?
Hitlerian.
They were like Hitler on steroids, because they all, instead of having one evil leader, it's like the whole band of them want Jews dead. You know, it's like they're trained from childhood. They train their children to grow up and curse and plan to commit suicide so that they can go to heaven.
Jews and Christians. Oh,
that's better too. You're right about that. You're right. Yeah.
And, you know, the reason that is that, you know, because we're engrafted into the branch of Israel, you know, like Romans, like we're engrafted into the branch of Abraham, and you can't strike the trunk of the Jewish people and it not shake the church. And so anytime we see rise in anti-Semitism, we're going to see a rise in Christian persecution too. Yeah, there's no, like, there is absolutely a spiritual connection between the martyrdom in Africa and what is happening in the Middle East right now and the persecution of the Jews. And I don't think that it was a coincidence that when you pronounce even the supreme leader, the first supreme leader until he got bombed or whatever, his name was Khamenei or Haman.
Oh, it is. It's in there, isn't it? That word.
Yeah. Literally, his name, that Haman is in his name. And it's just incredible to see how, you know, God's times and seasons and the season of divine reversal, right? When, you know, the death decree by Haman was intercepted by Esther and was overturned, that it's literally the same day that the supreme leader was taken out, Haman was taken out. And I believe that we are in a season right now where we need to contend that the Persians are going to rise up, and the Persian bride is going to rise up and are going to begin to speak and minister, not just to Muslims, because the Lord, part of this word is about Muslims too. But also be sent into Israel and to have a door into Israel to begin a great wave of evangelism. And one of the things too, the Lord showed me as he was giving me this word, I had a vision of, you know, how the Muslims, the regime there, they want to have all the women wear hijab and to cover their faces. And the Lord showed me that for a long time now, the women have been purposely taking off their hijab. And the Lord said, this is a prophetic sign that the veil that is over, that has blinded the eyes of my people, Israel, is going to come off, that the veil that blinds the eyes of the nations to see me in my glory and to receive me as Messiah is being removed. And that was really powerful too.
That's so good. You know, we went to Israel. I've been there like 7 or 8 times now, but in 2000, we were one of the last groups to ever go inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque, however you say that, and down below. But there was a woman that had all of her, she was down worshiping at this thing. I think it's supposed to be the rock where Abraham was down below. You can go, you could go down there in those days and see that. And there was a woman all covered up except for her eyes. And my wife and I each had different reactions to it. I thought, I felt compassion for the woman. And that's all I felt. I didn't have, Dreen was furious at what they had done to women. She was just, you know, not like she's going to yell and scream, but she just had anger in her that they would treat women like that. And I think that's, they both, we got to have both sides of that thing. Anger that women have been treated as things.
Yeah, righteous anger.
Help Elijah Streams continue to reach people around the world. All donations go toward making Elijah Streams and the Elijah Streams podcast possible. Visit ElijahStreams.com/give and become a partner today.
Yeah, righteous anger. I mean, anger that you know, probably stems from God himself, that he's, you know, with compassion, he healed the sick, and with passion, He lets his feelings be known to us. But anyway, I just don't throw that.
No, that's beautiful. That's so true. And I, you know, the enemy hates women and hates the image of women, because in the garden, I write about this in my book too, the Lord actually cursed the serpent. And then as his justice, he said, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head, right? And so there's a special anointing on women for spiritual warfare. And to tie into that, you know, the church in Iran, the underground church there, is literally the fastest growing church in the world. And they actually say that it is because of the radical Muslim regime. It's actually turned people to Christianity. Because of how, you know, terrible.
Well, you know, I posted on my X channel this morning that there a news article that came out that there's 75,000 mosques in Iran, and of which 50,000 are closed.
Yeah.
I don't mean because there's a war. I mean, they're closed because they're not being inhabited, because nobody wants to go into a mosque. They don't believe it. I mean, it's the... This didn't just break out because the war started. The war started because they were breaking out, and Trump came along to free him. But that's, the God started this revival a long time ago, and none of us were hearing about it or feeling.
I have some I looked it up and found out that according to like Elam Ministries and multiple researchers, that more Iranians have come to Christ in the last 20 years than in the previous 1,400 years combined.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like surging at like 20% per year. But the church there has no buildings. They don't have any central leadership. They don't have any government protection. They meet in like secret house churches behind closed doors, but 55% of the disciple makers and the evangelists are women.
Really?
And yes, and they go out, and it's just wild what the women there are doing. And they it happens through intercession, and then God highlighting somebody in the marketplace for them to target with his love. And then they pray, and those people will have dreams and visions of Jesus, and then tell them to go to this person's house. And that's the person that's been praying for them. And so it's just radical the way that they're coming to the Lord. And it's even more amazing that despite like the regime's attempt to create a system to make Christianity impossible, that the persecution of the church is actually multiplying them.
Yeah, you're saying because of persecution they're growing all the faster is what you're saying.
There's something about God's justice, and when he, you know, a martyr's blood is spilled, he takes it very, very personally, and it causes excremental growth in the nation that it happens in. And so when I woke up on March 1st and was like just weeping great tears of joy, like for, you know, what was happening, even though it was war, you know, the Spirit of the Lord just, he gave me this word. And so I'm just going to share it. It was on March 1st. And he said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring over your land and scattering your enemies. He's saying this to Iran, to the four winds.
Yeah.
Behold, a new day has dawned as the Sun of Righteousness is arising over you, Iran, with healing in his wings. You shall arise from the ashes as a shining city on a hill, and you shall befriend and provoke my people Israel to believe in the Messiah whom I have sent.
Yeah.
And then he says, and who would have believed or considered in their heart that I, the Lord, would look upon the sons of Ishmael and call them as spiritual freedom fighters for my people Israel?
Yeah.
For I have seen Ishmael in his affliction, and my mercy for the lad has never waned. It has always been my plan to raise him up in the resurrection life of Yeshua, and then to send him home to their brothers of the house of Israel. For have I not said that the firstborn son is holy and belongs to me? Yes, he does, says the Lord of hosts. The nations belong to me, and I have not changed my mind. Truly, you shall bear witness in the coming days of my great plans and purposes for the Middle East.
Yeah.
The redeemed remnant of Iran will arise as a double-edged sword wielded by the hands of their Lion King, Yeshua, to sever the bonds of Islamic wickedness off of many people. They shall be a double-edged sword, yes. One edge is the word of Yahweh that reveals the hidden intentions of the inner man. The second edge is the word of their testimony, having survived the satanic oppression of religious dictatorship. This is the sword that will cut away the bonds of ignorance, darkness, and hopelessness. Iran, you shall bear witness to Israel that where the spirit of the Prince of Peace is Lord, there is true freedom.
That's good.
And then he says, Iranian remnant, you shall arise in the nation as roarers of truth and justice. He said, roarers, not warriors, roar like lions, warriors of truth and justice that is found only in Yeshua. You shall rebuild the ancient ruins, the desolations of generations, and everlasting joy will be yours. On this first day of Purim, the nations did not perceive what I had planned, for I am now mustering an army of Iranian Esthers and Mordecais to be a voice on behalf of Israel in the last days. They will war against the Antichrist, anti-Semitic spirit of Haman and Hitler that would attempt to rob me of my full inheritance in the nations. They will break the bow of the evil one with their voice that I will broadcast through the nations. For your roar shall judge the false prophets of Media throughout the nations that lead the masses astray. Mm-hmm. They will have great mercy for Muslims, and I will bring them to faith in me. Let this be a sign and a witness to the gods of the nations this day. This is like the rebellious Elohim, gods of the nations, that the bride of Iran is removing her veil of grief in the natural to behold my glowing, glorious face to face. She will be anointed to remove the veil of deception and spiritual blindness off of my Israeli bride and throughout the nations. Rejoice, daughters of Iran. Arise, Deborah, and sing your song. The work is not done. The war has only begun, and you must rally the villages to action. Arise, sons and daughters of Iran, Israel, and America, for a great alliance to accomplish my purposes has been woven together, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Watchmen, do not abandon your posts. Do not cease to rally your birthing intercessors as they travail for deliverance from Babylon. Arise, lions, and roar as I establish my throne in Elam.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know you were going to have that the very last line, because as you were reading it, I was thinking God did say I'm going to set my throne in Elam, which is Persia, which is Iran. I mean, that's the only place in the Word of God, I think, that where God says names a place that He's going to put His throne. Wow. There's no other place. And so we're seeing the outworkings of that. People saying all kinds of things about the political war and this and that, and Trump this and that. But look what God's up to. Man.
Yeah, God is one of the things that the Lord has spoken to me about with specifically this administration, Trump and RFK Jr. and Elon Musk, is their assignment is to unravel or deconstruct the Rockefeller and the Rockefeller elite deep state infrastructure, right? And they're doing that through the Food and Drug Administration, through, you know, the Federal Reserve, like all these things. And part of what they're doing in connection with Israel is to really delay and to withhold the Antichrist from coming forward to release a great deception.
Yeah.
And so we need to pray. We need to pray for Donald Trump. You know, a conviction that I've had is that, and it's so cool because we just saw Trump post about Kim Clement.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that very word from 2007.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, I had never even heard of Kim Clement, and the Lord gave me the exact same word about him. And that he was raising up Trump as a trumpet. And I'm like, what are we talking about? And then we see that he was running. So that's amazing. But I've been praying, you know, the Bible says that God gives kings dreams.
Yeah. Right?
And so Trump, I'm like, Lord, like give Trump dreams, like give him dreams about what to do that are directional. Would you convict him? Would you meet him in his dreams? Like you are meeting the Muslims in the Middle East in their dreams. Would you do that for Trump too? Would you do that for Elon? Would you do that for RFK Jr.? Like, would you give dreams to kings and then put people around them that can interpret those dreams, like Joseph and Daniel? Because we're in a really critical time right now, and we have to have voices of truth that are trumpeting what God is doing. And it's really important. I feel, you know, I have the things that I do here. Like I have an apostolic hub here where I'm at in Ohio, and we have a house church movement and stuff, and I have the academy. But my online platform, I tell all y'all online, you are my media military. You are my media army, right? And your job, you can reach an audience I can't reach. So when you share Elijah streams, when you share the voice of the prophets, when you share prophetic words, when you speak the truth and refuse to allow any other voice to shut you down or to, you know, I actually tell people, I don't mind if people start stuff in my comments because it boosts my visibility in the algorithm.
So you don't even, even when they're, what's the word? They're trolling you or whatever. You don't mind that?
No, I actually pray that God will cause demons to manifest in my comments so that it will boost my visibility in the algorithm so that the truth can get to a broader audience. Well,
there you have. I mean, that is probably a very valid thing. This is years and years ago. I can't remember what the issue was, but I had a prophet tell me that somebody was coming against me. I don't remember what it was. If I did, I'd probably say it. But this prophet said, Steve, don't worry about it, because the more people do that, the more other people will see it and check it out to see if it was true or not true. Mm-hmm. And that gave me some pause. I thought, I guess I don't really need to worry. I mean, you just don't hear what you're saying very often. You know, we delete a lot of trolls, but maybe we shouldn't. I don't know.
Demons are subject to Jesus and me, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they can run their mouth. That's all they can do. But I am, you know, covered in the blood of Jesus. And if a demon isn't manifesting isn't angry at what I'm saying, then I'm probably not speaking the truth, or I'm not speaking it often enough. So my job is to not purposely try to offend people. My job right. is to purposely reveal the unadulterated word of the Lord and to educate people yeah. about what the enemy is doing and what God wants to do, right? Because a lot, you know, the Lord himself said people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge of me, right? And so our job as prophetic voices is to teach people, disciple the nations, right? To yeah. tell them who he is and sure. how he thinks, how he feels, what his desires are. And if people are triggered or a demon pops up in the comments and they want to argue, that's fine. You can argue with yourself.
Well you know, I did you them. Now I got to ask you this. This is a serious question. Did you learn some of that from the Charlie Kirk we all got to know later, or were you already that way?
Were you already that way?
Were you really?
Yes.
Is he your generation? What is there something about your generation that can just handle that one? People like me?
I think for me personally, it has to do with I really do believe, you know, Jesus, he had conversations with people. Yeah. You know, when I was praying and asking the Lord to teach me about revival, like how do you go into a region that rejects the Holy Spirit and bring revival there?
Yeah.
And he showed me a framework that he used in his own earthly ministry. And so he would go into a region, and when there couldn't be many signs or wonders done there because of their lack of faith.
Yeah.
He would then do a circuit of preaching and teaching. All of a sudden you would see him showing up and speaking in synagogues, and then he would be gathering people in the fields, and then they would make a circle around and they would come back to that place. And when they came back to that place, because the mindset of the people in the region had been shifted through yeah. conversation, through proclamation, through teaching, through loving, then they could come in with a bold demonstration and revival would break out.
Wow.
And that's so, yeah. And so that's the model that I use. I feel like if the enemy caused the fall in Eden through a conversation, right? A conversation where Eve said, hey, come sit down and discuss this with me, gave him room at the table. My conviction is that if we give people, you know, a room at the table of conversation, and we're the ones that are carrying truth. So the burden of proof is actually not on us. It's on the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
Right.
That's really good. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So yeah. If conversation will open people up, and, you know, I ask the Lord, you know, that to just release seeds through what I speak that will begin to grow and convict people.
Well, and, you know, I have seen the trolls that were coming along, and then there's the people like yourself that love answering trolls, and they get on the same list and they say, you don't know what you're talking about, and they start internal conversations, and some of them become friends. And they say, yeah, there's that I wasn't even thinking about, that all of a sudden that popped in my head. That there's a lot of that went on. People became sold by this, the right personality got him on that thing, you know, and converted yeah. to that. So awesome. Well, anything else? I want to make sure you covered that. We're about out of time. Go ahead. What were you starting to say?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say there are, you know, I have some prayer points and just some decrees yeah. to partner.
Go for
you
it.
Know, we want, I, how amazing would it be for us to see Israel, you know, the sons of Israel and the sons of Ishmael.
Yeah.
Dwelling together in unity. Who in the land of that Yahweh gave Israel.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be just so incredible. I mean, that's what revival looks like to me. That's what, I mean, they already do live there, but there's this radical sect and there's this, you know, these wars, it's literally sibling rivalry. And yeah, the Lord wants to heal that. And so praying for the underground church in Iran, praying that the Iranian believers who are in prison right now, that they will be released, that their lives will be preserved, and that, you know, they're going to be great voices on every outlet about the truth of what has happened there. Mm-hmm. And I really believe, too, that some of these voices are going to come forward and they're going to begin to contend with the woke agenda here in the United States and the communist agenda that is happening here in the United States. You know, Gen Alpha, Gen Z, they're wired for justice because they are a extremely prophetic generation. And they just have not been taught what God's justice looks like, what God's love looks like. They just need to have their questions answered. And once you answer those questions, they become radical advocates for the kingdom. And so praying that those voices would come forward, praying for Israel, and that the veil would be lifted. You know, fasting, if the Lord leads you to fast, is very important as well. I have also, one of the things the Lord has been speaking to me about is the agenda of the enemy to get America, especially the conservative population in America, to curse Israel. The word that God uses when he said, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you, to Abraham, right? That's the covenant we've been engrafted into, not that we've replaced. The word curse means to strip of value, wealth, and abundance and importance. And the Jewish nation, God has blessed them to be wealthy because their wealth is to be a sign that the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills is with them. Yeah. So the church is supposed to look like that. But when we begin to openly curse Israel, it is a spiritual consequence that we invoke upon ourselves where we experience poverty.
That's a big sobering thing, you know? Yeah.
And so the Lord has been telling me to warn people that we are in, like, literally the beginning phases of a massive wealth transfer. And I even see the Iranian dollar, which I don't know what it's called, but I see it exploding over the next 10 years, like exploding in value over the next 10 years. And we need to be very careful that we are blessing Israel and that we're giving even into ministries that are on the front lines, you know, ministering to Israel. Because when we bless them, meaning give the out of our abundance, it's going to be given back to us. And so being mindful of how we care for them is very important. And it opens up opportunities for the gospel to be shared with them. Praying for wisdom in our government with the true prince of Iran and with Israel, that no demonic interference comes to destroy that alliance. And also for each of us to continually, like, stand our watch. We are in a time right now where, you know, I feel like last year was almost like a break for the body of Christ, you know, where we could just kind of rest and, like, it not be crazy warfare, but we are still in an hour of war. And I feel like the emphasis to have strategic and purposeful intercession to cover the nations, even if it's just praying in the Holy Spirit for 15 minutes a day, can't be neglected right now. So that's what, just some prayer points. And then I know that you guys are actually going to publish this. And so,
yeah, that's what they said on the note here, that the decrees will be published on the Elijah list on Thursday. So I guess that's our time. Do you want to just bless the people in prayer as we close out? That'd be awesome.
So, Lord, I just thank you so much. much for the audience today, God. I thank you that they are truth seekers, that they are hungry for righteousness to be revealed in the nations, God. And I even just like, Lord, I just bless them. God, thank you for this media army that you have risen up through Elijah Streams, that the glory of the knowledge of the Lord is streaming out into all the nations of the earth through this broadcast. And Lord, I just bless them and I bless their minds. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I break witchcraft off of their minds. I break occult programming through media off of their minds. I break the assignment of, I just see like earwigs, like these little deceptive lies that get into your ears and they repeat themselves. I break that now. I break the assignment of the spirit of fear and the fear of World War III off of your people, Jesus, right now in the name of Yeshua. And I release shalom over them. I release wisdom over them. And God, I ask that you would anoint them with the oil of happy warfare, of joyfare is what I just heard. Joyfare, where as they spend time in your presence and they intercede in agreement with your spirit, that there will be a euphoria that comes on them, that drives them into that secret place and into that place of communion to partner with your desires in the nations. And I also just see health issues. I see like something with a stomach, like gut issues being healed right now in the name of Jesus. What is that? IBS. So we just command IBS to be healed right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I bless you too, Steve. I bless your health and your body. Pain and inflammation go, and lower back issues be healed right now in the name of Jesus.
Receive that. Wow. All right. That's awesome. Now, ChristaElisha.com, that's how they get a hold of you.
Anything,
you have your books and all there? Are they all there? Okay, good.
Yes, so. And also anybody who's interested in receiving inner healing and deliverance ministry, I actually, we launched an online inner healing and deliverance center called Shalom, and you can find out more about that there too.
Right there in the same place. All right. Well, thank you so much. Now, everybody, Dr. Scott Young will be with us tomorrow at 11 o'clock Pacific. I should be there talking about Nisara, Jasara, and all that's going on with that. So, don't miss that. Thanks again, Krista. God bless you. It's always such a pleasure to be on with you. I appreciate it so much. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks again, Krista. See you later. Bye-bye.
This has been Elijah Streams. Thanks for listening. For more episodes like this, you can listen to the Elijah Streams podcast at ElijahStreams.com, on Apple, and Spotify. Join us live every weekday at 11 a.m. Pacific time at ElijahStreams.com, Rumble, and Facebook. Elijah Streams is part of Elijah List Ministries. Go to ElijahStreams.com/give to become a partner today.